And welcome to this final episode of Season 4 of the Regulatory Radio Podcast Series. My name is Wayne Howell, head of the Regulatory Staffing Team at FRAIR. And in this episode, we shall be discussing the comparability quality studies for the development of biosimilar products for the EU. Our speaker today is Michael Lamble, Mick for short, and he is our Senior Vice President of Medicinal Products of Regulatory Affairs at FRAIR. And in this podcast series, he's taken us through some of the regulatory requirements related to the biological products in the EU. So let's hear it from Mick now.
Hello, Wayne. Thanks again for having me as the speaker in this podcast series. I'm looking forward to today's conversation.
To start us off, Mick, can you remind us the definition of a biosimilar product, please?
Yes, Wayne. A similar biological medicinal product, also known as a biosimilar, is a product which is highly similar to a biological medicine that has already been authorized in the European Economic Area, or EEA, the so-called reference medicinal product.
You had mentioned reference products, Mick. Can you tell us a little more about this, such as what can be considered as a reference product for the EU biosimilar submissions?
Well, for the purposes of a biosimilar submission in the EU, a reference product is one which has already been granted a marketing authorization by the EMA on the basis of a complete dossier prepared in accordance with the provisions of Article 8.3 of Directive 2001/83/EC. A key element of that submission is that similarity needs to be established between the reference medicinal product and the biosimilar product in terms of quality characteristics, biological activity, safety, and efficacy based on a comprehensive comparability exercise.
Thanks, Mick. Can you tell us if there are any other points to be aware of regarding the selection of a reference product to support an EU submission?
Well, as mentioned before, the reference product should have been authorized in the EEA. However, to ease the global development of biosimilars and to avoid unnecessary repetition of clinical trials, it may be possible to compare the biosimilar in certain clinical studies and in vivo non-clinical studies with a non-EEA authorized version of the reference medicinal product. In such a case, any non-EEA authorized product should have been authorized by a highly regulated competent authority with similar scientific and regulatory standards as those of the EMA. Under this approach, it will be the applicant's responsibility to establish that batches sourced outside the EEA are representative of the reference medicinal product authorized in the EEA through an extensive analytical comparison. The applicant bears the overall responsibility to scientifically justify the relevance of the comparative data and establish an acceptable bridge to the EEA authorized reference product. And this bridge will need to include comparative analytical data, and in some cases, comparative clinical PK and or PD data between the biosimilar, the EEA authorized reference product, and the non-EEA authorized medicinal product. As you can appreciate, the acceptability of such an approach and the type of bridging data needed will be a case-by-case and a product-type decision. And it's recommended that this be discussed upfront with the EMA.
Okay, thanks, Mick. And can you talk about the regulatory pathway to obtain approval of biosimilars in the EU?
In fact, in the EU, it's mandatory to register all biotechnology-derived products through the centralized procedure, including biosimilars. As with all centralized applications, if successful, it results in one authorization which is valid in all member states of the EU, plus Iceland, Norway, and Liechtenstein. And following the EMA's scientific guidelines helps developers meet the strict requirements to achieve that approval.
Mick, you've emphasized the importance of comparative studies. Can you expand a little on the approach for performing comparative quality studies for biosimilar products?
As referred to earlier, an extensive comparability exercise is required to demonstrate that the biosimilar has a highly similar quality profile when compared to that of the reference medicinal product. This should include comprehensive analyses of the proposed biosimilar and reference medicinal product using sensitive and orthogonal methods to determine not only similarities, but also potential differences in quality attributes such as physicochemical properties, biological activity, functional characteristics, and impurities, for example. A physicochemical characterization program should use appropriate methodologies to determine, for example, the composition, the physical properties, and primary and higher order structures of the biosimilar. The target amino acid sequence of the biosimilar should be confirmed and is expected to be the same as that for the reference product. The N and C terminal amino acid sequences, free SH groups, and disulfide bridges should also be compared as appropriate. Any modifications and/or truncations should be quantified, and any intrinsic or expression system-related variability should be described. The presence and extent of post-translational modifications, for example, glycosylation, oxidation, deamidation, and truncation, should be appropriately characterized. The biological activity is the specific ability or capacity of the product to achieve a defined biological effect. Biological assays using different and complementary approaches to measure the biological activity should be considered as appropriate. Depending on the biological properties of the product, different assay formats can be used. For example, ligand or receptor binding assays, enzymatic assays, cell-based assays, or functional assays. The immunological functions of monoclonal antibodies and related substances, for example, fusion proteins based on IgGFC, should be fully compared. This would normally include a comparison of affinity of the biosimilar and reference products to the intended target. Apart from these comparative studies, the purity profile of the biosimilar must be identified during the development using state-of-the-art methods and be found to be highly similar to that of the reference product. Any differences detected in the quality attributes will have to be appropriately justified with regard to their potential impact on safety and efficacy. And these justifications are likely to be areas that the health authorities focus on.
Thanks, Mick. To round off this episode, are there any other points that we should be aware of regarding the criteria to perform comparative quality studies between the proposed biosimilar products and the reference products?
Well, Wayne, quantitative ranges should be established for the biosimilar comparability exercise wherever possible. These ranges should be based primarily on the measured quality attribute ranges of the reference medicinal product and should not be wider than the range of variability of the representative reference medicinal product batches, unless otherwise justified. The suitability of the ranges should also be discussed, taking into account the number of reference medicinal product lots that are tested, the quality attribute investigated, the age of the batches at the time of testing, and the test method or methods used. A descriptive statistical approach to establish ranges for quality attributes can be used, provided it's appropriately justified. Also, particular attention should be given to quality attributes that might have an impact on immunogenicity or potency, or that have not been identified in the reference medicinal product. The impact of those differences on the safety and/or the efficacy of the biosimilar product should be scientifically justified or evaluated through appropriate non-clinical and/or clinical studies as part of the overall comparability exercise.
Many thanks, Mick. That was an interesting final episode on comparative quality studies for biosimilar development.
Thanks, Wayne. It's been my pleasure.
And with this final episode on biological products and related regulations for the EU market entry, we now conclude this season. Stay updated for more seasons coming ahead by following Frere's LinkedIn handle and corporate website. Thank you.